Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm Lizzie, your Millennial Movie Matchmaker. So what are we going to be talking about today? Well, we are going to talk about the newest movie streaming on HBO Max, and that is Locked Down. This movie is starring Chiwetel Ejiofor and Anne Hathaway. They play Linda and Paxton. They are a couple that are trying to navigate during the coronavirus global pandemic. That's right. This is one of the first coronavirus themed movies. And Linda and Paxton together are, as most of us were during that April lockdown, completely miserable, and if not worse. And they decided to create a story revolving around that, where they put those masks to use and rob a fine goods store. So we are going to talk a little bit more about that later. But because this movie is all about a heist, I wanted to pick my top five favorite heist movies and rank them out for you. That's right, we are talking about heists. Now, one thing that makes a heist movie fun is it almost in the same way that a horror movie can provide some, you know, it can give you that little bit of serotonin, gives you that fear, yet it's from the safety of your own home. It's almost in the same sense for heist movies, right? Because it gives you the sense of being dangerous, you're breaking the law, but it's all a movie. You know, you're all watching all the people that get capped and go to jail and all the things. That's not you, right? So you can watch them and judge them from afar, from the safety of your home. And that is really what we love about the heist movies. There's always like the archetypes for the heist movies, right? There's always like the getaway person, there's the lookout, there's the people who are actually doing the actual jobs, and then there's always usually the one who is calling all of the shots. And now I was actually thinking about who I would fall into, like which archetype would you be, Lizzie? And then it occurred to me that I would be none, because there's no world where I would ever be able to be in a heist. Ever. Like I'm such a pansy. Like I am so afraid of disloyalty and dishonesty and getting caught. Like I simply can't. I can't. Like my husband's actual favorite story to tell about me, this will probably at least give you some context, is, you know, pre-pandemic, it was our thing. We would get a babysitter, we would go out to dinner, and then we would go to the movies. That's my favorite thing to do ever. I mean, my husband will literally be like, Lizzie, we can do whatever you want. Like we've got the night off and I can take you wherever you want to go. And I would always say that I want to go somewhere where I can get buffalo chicken. And then I want to go to the movies. Always. I'm a pretty cheap date. And to keep it consistent with the cheapness, we would usually go to a gas station in order to stock up on the treats, because your girl loves popcorn, but she doesn't want to pay $10.99 for a bag of peanut butter M&Ms. I mean, that's just ridiculous. So we usually would stock up. I put them in my purse. And of course, there was a time where the movie theater, you know, there was a lot of sensitivity around it, because there were a lot of, you know, intense acts of violence that were happening at the theater. So they always upped the security a little bit. Well, when we were walking in, we had paid for our seats. We got the popcorn, all the things. We're getting ready to head into our seats. And someone asked if they could check our bags. And I panic. Like I look over at Aaron, my face turns completely white. This is coming from him. He loves telling the story. Like my face turns completely white. I just, and I look over at the woman who was asked to check our bags. And I just look her square in the eye and go, I have snacks in here. The look on her face, her immediate response was, ma'am, that's fine. I'm just making sure you're not carrying a firearm on you. Okay, that's fine. Not in here. And if that is any indication, I'm literally petrified of getting caught. Like the one time that I told my mom that I was spending the night at a friend's house and then I was instead going to a high school party, I came home. She was like, "Hi, honey, how's the party?" I was thrilled thinking I had gotten away with it. And the guilt just came over me and I immediately confessed. So long story short, I don't belong in a heist. I wouldn't make it 5 minutes. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about our honorable mention for today. And that is going to be the movie Baby Driver. So the movie revolves all around the main character, Baby. He is played by Ansel Elgort. And he's a young boy. He's partially hearing impaired, so he loves music. He's always got his headphones in. That's a huge part of who he is. Now, what makes Baby special is that he is a remarkable driver, and he's put those skills to good use by being a getaway driver. So he works for a character named Doc, who is played by Kevin Spacey. That's right, shocker, guys. Kevin Spacey plays another villain. And so Doc is a very seasoned ringleader for these bank robberies, and his go-to getaway driver is always Baby. And more or less, it's the same team. So you've got Buddy, who is played by John Hamm, and then a couple of other characters. You know, he's got his girlfriend, Darling, and then there's a couple of odd people that are always that third character. And so it's just like any other bank robbery, right? They go in, they put on the masks, they hold everybody up, they get the money, and then before the cops can arrest them, they all get in the car. Baby, blaring his music, is able to put his skills to good use and get them out just in time. Now, Baby isn't in this business long term. You know, he's just trying to square away some debts with Doc and then be on his way. Now, while this is happening, he meets a sweet diner girl played by Lily James, and he falls madly in love with her. They form this sweet puppy love-like romance, all on the precipice of Baby doing his very last job. Now, this job has a new third played by Jamie Foxx. He plays the character of Bats. And Bats is, he's named appropriately because he's batshit crazy. He's completely reckless. He is unpredictable. And he really screws everything up for Baby. You know, he puts Baby in a position where he's not going to be able to get out of this world as easily as he thought. And now he's got collateral damage in the form of his new love. Now, why is this movie not in my top five? Well, I mean, I actually do really love this movie. It's a great movie. It's fun. There's not a whole lot of character development, but to be honest, you don't truly need it just because the movie is very fast paced. And it's really just about the action. Like, it's fun to watch. The whole movie is really driven by the soundtrack. So they really are able to make up for that lack of character development. However, Jamie Foxx's character in this movie drives me nuts. I love Jamie Foxx. I think Jamie Foxx is absolutely fantastic. But if any of you have ever seen the movie Horrible Bosses, and he plays a hitman named Motherfucker, and he's just like incredibly serious. But because the movie is a comedy, his seriousness has a level of irony to it, which makes it so fun and enjoyable to watch. He basically is like Motherfucker 2.0 in this movie. You know, he says the most intense things, like a couple of quotes. It's like, "The moment you catch feelings is the moment you catch a bullet." And he's a loony, just like his tunes. "You rob to support a drug habit. I do drugs to support a robbery habit." You know, he's just, but the thing is that this is a serious movie and he's so earnest. So I think they kind of did him a little dirty with the writing in this movie. But ultimately, we all know how much I love my character development. So like I said, I don't fault this movie. They don't need it. But when I think of my heist movies, I think about it because of the fun that it is to watch. And it's exciting, but it's not going to go down in the Hall of Fame for me simply because of the fact that if it wasn't for Baby's spectacular taste in music, this movie would be forgettable. All right, so let's move on. We're going to talk about my top five favorite heist movies. So we're going to start with number 5, and that is going to be Focus. Now, this movie stars Will Smith. I absolutely love, love, love Will Smith. The only movie that I can think of that I didn't enjoy him in was 7 Pounds. And oh, hear me out, because everybody loves that movie, but I cannot handle that movie. He's so mean to Woody Harrelson's character Ezra within the first 5 minutes that he was so horribly mean to him. And I understand why. I watched the movie till the end. I get it. I know all the things, but I just couldn't get past it. Woody Harrelson did such a good job of looking completely broken that it tore me up inside, and I cried so hard, like hard to breathe crying watching that movie in that scene in particular. And then the whole thing was just ruined for me. So sorry, don't at me. But I love Will Smith. I love him so much. No, he plays Nicky. He is a seasoned con artist. He knows the game. He's been playing since he was a kid. He learned the con from his father. And now Nicky meets Jess. She is played by Margot Robbie. And she is this young, absolutely beautiful. She's really nothing more at this point than a pickpocketer, but she is really interested in learning the trade. So he takes her under his wing, and they have an amazing weekend together. You know, he teaches her everything that he knows. She helps with this huge Super Bowl Mardi Gras New Orleans heist job that they have. And then out of nowhere, you know, Nicky, his whole life has been about lying and cheating. So he very quickly learns that this romance that they have is just not going to work. Well, fast forward about 3 years later, and Nicky is working on a big, big fish. He is working on a huge con from a race car driver that has discovered a type of software that is going to be able to enhance the performance. It's a big fish for him. And who does he bump into? None other than Jess. So the whole movie is not only about this huge, big con that they have, but it's also about Nicky having to come to grips with the fact that he actually does have feelings for Jess and trying to fight through that and navigate it and come to a place where he can be both the expert con artist and also an honest man for Jess. I love this movie. I love it because the con is all about understanding human nature. You know, the entire plot is all about Nicky instilling the value within Jess. Like, you have to be able to know people and read them. You know, there's an amazing scene going in earlier. So talking about how they had an amazing weekend in New Orleans. So in that very same weekend during the Super Bowl, they're in this VIP box and Nicky is betting with this very, very wealthy gentleman, and he keeps betting, he keeps losing, and then it's double or nothing, double or nothing, double or nothing. And then finally he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. You take any player on the field, any player playing from the sidelines, I don't care. You pick their number, and then she, pointing to Jess, will guess that number. Obviously that's like 1,000,000 to 1. I mean, the odds are not in their favor. He goes, he picks a number. You know, he's like, you're absolutely crazy, but I'm not going to say no to free money. So he takes the offer, looks at the player, picks his number. And then she, with the same binoculars, she's looking out. She is freaking out, by the way. She's like, you've lost all of my money. Now I have no idea how you're going to pay this person. Freaking out. She looks on to the field and notices that a member of their team is wearing a jersey with the number 55. So she gets the hint, like, okay, this is the number that I'm supposed to pick. She picks it. It was the number that he picked. Everybody's going crazy celebrating. You know, the guy is like, he's so rich that he doesn't care that he just lost millions of dollars. And he's just like, we've got to go to Vegas right now. We got to go to Vegas right now. And when they're leaving, she's like, how did you know that he was going to pick that number? And apparently from the moment that gentleman had arrived in New Orleans, they were planting subliminal messages for the number 55. You know, it'd be, you know, fives would be in the design of the wallpaper, or there'd be women wearing five earrings, or his bill would be, you know, have 55 incorporated into it. And every single aspect, the number 55 was being subconsciously placed into his mind. And that is what I love about this movie, is that it obviously you have to have some kind of talent to be a con artist, but more importantly, you just have to have the ability to read people. And as someone that loves psychology, as someone that loves like that why we do what we do aspect, that's what makes this movie so much fun. Also, I mean, Will Smith and Margot Robbie, they have such an amazing chemistry together. I mean, they are so sexy as a couple. They were both in Suicide Squad together. But I have to be completely honest, that wasn't my favorite superhero movie. That didn't do much for me. This by far surpasses that. Now, I think that they absolutely hit it out of the park with the casting, with Will Smith and Margot Robbie together. But they were going to cast Ryan Gosling as Nikki and then Emma Stone as Jess. And I gotta say, I think Ryan Gosling probably could have pulled this off. I don't quite think that Emma Stone has the sex appeal for this role. And that is not a stab at her. I'm all for women supporting women. I think Emma Stone is beautiful. But I think Emma Stone is quirky and cute. And I mean, she's absolutely beautiful. But I don't think that she has that sultriness that Margot Robbie really brings to the character. Now, speaking of someone that doesn't have sultriness, they were going to, Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling both backed out, and then they replaced them with, get this, Ben Affleck and Kristen Stewart. Can you believe that? I mean, literally, I read that and I made an audible ew sound. Like, I cannot imagine K-Stew in this role. I mean, she would be so awkward. Like, yeah. Like, she's so obnoxious in the way that she talks. And she has this cocky, like, I'm too good to be here vibe. Not for me. But I love this movie. It is absolutely, it's one of the first things that I think about whenever I think about a heist movie. It's sexy, it's fun, it's a little dangerous. There's some twists and turns. I think that if you are the type of person that wants to feel the excitement of the heist but doesn't want anything that's particularly violent, and maybe have like a little bit of a love story, kind of like a rom-com element to it, this is your movie. All right, let's move on to number 4. This is a little bit of a dark horse, but I feel good about it and we're going to do it. And that is Inception. So, a little backstory on this movie. So this was a passion project for Christopher Nolan. He wrote this long before it was ever greenlit. So he was obsessed with the idea of a dream heist. He was obsessed with the idea of being able to actually get into someone's head and steal their ideas. And he originally wanted it to be a horror movie. He thought that the whole idea was actually very scary. And then slowly after time, that evolved into more of a heist movie in general. So that being said, he pitched it to several studios. Everybody said, no, this is going to be way too expensive. We're not going to be able to afford it. It probably won't bring in the profits. You're a young name. It's not going to happen. So Christopher Nolan then decided to become a little bit more seasoned. He made and released Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, which were two wildly successful movies. The studios begged them for a third. We need a third. And he was like, well, first, I want to make this movie that I've been telling you all so much about for so many years. So write me a blank check for it. And let me make it, and then I'll give you a third Dark Knight. And that's exactly what happened. They gave him a blank check, and he made Inception. So again, this is not a horror movie. It is truly a heist movie. So the whole plot revolves first and foremost around this idea of extraction. So it's the idea that while someone is asleep, that is when their mind is the most vulnerable. You can actually go into their mind during that dreamlike state, into their subconscious, and extract their ideas. Now, in the very beginning, it shows you how this is happening through the characters Cobb and Arthur. They are played by, Cobb is played by Leonardo DiCaprio, and Arthur is played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt. They're longtime partners in the extraction biz. Well, one of their clients is wanting them to do something called inception, which is the exact opposite of extraction. So basically, his theory is saying, well, you know, if you can go into the brain and extract an idea, take an idea out, then theoretically, you should be able to go into the mind and plant an idea. And that is the very idea of inception. So this particular client has a rival company and within the energy business. And this rival company, the owner is on his last leg. You know, he's playing in the fourth quarter of life, and his son has the ability to either take over his business or sell it. And so this particular client of Cobb and Arthur's wants them to take the son and plant an idea in his mind to sell and walk away. And that is really what the movie is about. You know, it sounds easy, right? Well, not so much. So they have to be able to create a world that feels realistic to the subject. So they assemble a team of people, particularly an architect. So the architect is a person who actually builds the dream world that they live in, and then the subject themselves fills it with their subconscious. So the people in the area, the bystanders, the strangers, they're all pieces of the subject's subconscious. And usually their ideas are hidden away in a safe or a locked room, anywhere that is a tangible manifestation of a secret that they want to hide. And so the architect in this movie, it is Adrian. It is played by Elliot Page, known then as Alan Page. And the whole team is just so amazing. You've got Tom Hardy, Michael Caine, basically all of Christopher Nolan's go-to people. And so this is really what the entire movie is about, is building this atmosphere in order to plant an idea into the subject's brain. Now, what makes this movie interesting and what makes it really fun is that there is, of course, a caveat, right? So Cobb, who is a very seasoned extractor, he's used to this dreamlike world. He and his wife used to build worlds together. They used to go in and out of reality, and they would build worlds that mimicked memories of their own. They'd even have forms of their own children. And even though that sounds amazing, it got a little hairy because they ended up getting into a place where they would actually blur the line between what was real and what was a dream. That is a huge point in this movie, is to get you to continuously question, is every single thing that you're watching, am I watching something that's actually happening, or am I watching something that's within this dreamlike state? And that is what makes this movie so much fun. I mean, it's exciting. It's got all the things that you need in a heist. You know, you've got the team assembled. You've got the, you know, the car chases and the, you know, mild violence, but all of the excitement of a heist movie. But it's paired with this like unbelievably interesting layered world. And it's so much fun to watch. You know, all these characters, they have so much to lose. At the end of it, it is one of those amazing movies where you look over at the person next to you and you are able to get into this big debate on what you think you just watched. And that is one of my favorite movies to watch, where they really leave the ending super open-ended for your own fun fan theories. All right, so let's move on to my number three pick. And that is going to be Reservoir Dogs. I don't think that I could have a top five heist movie without having this movie on here. I mean, this is actually the first movie that I think about whenever I think about a heist movie. So the movie is directed by none other than Quentin Tarantino, and it is all about, you guessed it, a diamond heist. And so the ringleader of this movie gathers together a motley crew of people. They don't know each other. As a matter of fact, the movie is, you know, as it opens, because, you know, in true Quentin Tarantino fashion, nothing is shot in chronological order, right? So the whole movie starts with them at a diner eating and talking about the meaning of the song Like a Virgin. And I have to bring this up because it just sets the dynamic of this crew. You know, Quentin Tarantino's character, you don't know his name at this point, and his monologue, I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit, but it's something to the effect of like, so, you know, it's all about this girl. She's out there and she's getting it in, you know, it's like dick, 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 dick. And then all of a sudden she meets this guy and he's so huge that she feels something that she's never felt before, or at least hasn't felt in a while. And that's pain. She feels pain and it's makes her feel like a virgin. And I have to mention this particular piece because when researching this movie, when it first came out, Madonna watched that scene. She sent a signed copy of her album to Quentin Tarantino with the note, QT, this song is not about dick, it's about love. And that's probably one of my favorite trivia tips on this movie. Anyway, I digress. So the movie is, again, all about this crew of guys. They don't know each other. So the ringleader has given them all aliases. So you've got Mr. Blue, Mr. White, Mr. Blonde, Mr. Orange, Mr. Pink, and Mr. Brown. And they all have different jobs. You know, like I said, with the heist, you know, everybody's got a different job. You've got the driver, you got the lookout, you got the people who are going in and doing the dirty work. And they don't actually ever show the heist in this movie, which I find very interesting because it's not actually about the heist itself. It's about the fact that they have this very elaborate plan, but it has gone terribly, terribly wrong. And the only explanation that this crew can come up with is that there is a rat among them, that they think that somebody in the crew is working for the fuzz. And so it's all about them trying to figure out who is the mole. And it is, in true Quentin Tarantino fashion, it is gratuitous, it is crass, it is violent. But one thing that I absolutely love about Quentin Tarantino is that he's able to take a subject matter that feels so heavy and make it feel almost like tongue in cheek, but in a respectful way. Like, he never does it in a way that feels offensive. You know, he's doing it in a way that you can so obviously tell that he's trying to make light of the situation that he just ends up succeeding. I mean, the man has made some questionable movies about some questionable subjects. I mean, he just got done making Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is all about the Manson family amongst these Hollywood actors. So, I mean, and I think he was able to knock that out of the park. I love that he's able to do that with his movies. He makes it light and fun. You know, there's a whole scene in this movie. I won't tell you who's who because I don't want to spoil anything or ruin it, but let's just say that there's one cop and there's one member of this team, and one person is for interrogating the other person, and he is, in a very Patrick Bateman adjacent fashion, is dancing around to, you know, stuck in the middle with you, and it's probably one of the most violent scenes in the entire movie, but it's somehow fun to watch. And that is the beauty and the genius of Quentin Tarantino. Now, this movie, there's not a whole lot of character development in this movie. It goes by very, very quickly. But what they lack in the building of character development, they really make up for in the quick wit and the writing of this movie. I mean, you are just as invested in trying to figure out who the mole is. I mean, because you don't know. As the viewer, you have no idea. You are guessing a lot, just along with everybody else. And when you finally do find out, it is certainly not what you expected. Now, for anyone who's a little faint of heart, who might have a little bit of a weak stomach, this is not for you. But if you are into that, I want to feel like I'm a part of the heist from the comfort of my own chair. I want to feel like I'm Mr. Pink right in the middle of the action. This movie is for you. It is so much fun to watch. It's intense. It's violent. It's gratuitous. It's all the things. But hey, at the end of the day, I would have to imagine that if there was an actual real heist happening somewhere within my proximity, that this would more than likely be kind of like a similar outcome. And if that's true, then man, oh man, this is a great piece of propaganda to never be part of a heist. All right, so let's move on to my number two pick. And that is going to be Ocean's 11. Now, I love this movie. I'm not talking about the original. So there was an original made in the 60s with the OG frat pack, you know, Frank Sinatra and all of his boys. But I am actually talking about the early aughts remake with George Clooney and the modern day frat pack. You know, you've got your George Clooney, your Brad Pitt, your Matt Damon. I think that for a good while, those three really made up your 2000s frat pack. So the movie revolves around Danny Ocean. He is just making parole. Literally, as the movie opens, he is talking to the parole board. He is able to get out. And of course, you know, when you're on parole, you gotta stay in town and all the things. Well, he decides not to do any of that and goes straight to Vegas to find his buddy Rusty, who is played by Brad Pitt. Now, Brad Pitt at the time is no longer running jobs. He's actually teaching celebrities in California how to play poker. So it's so funny how they actually have a actual crew of early aught celebrities. So you've got an actress from the Charmed, the show about the witches with Rose McGowan. You've got the kid from Seventh Heaven. You've got the guy from Walk to Remember. You've got Topher Grace from That 70s Show. And it is really funny to watch that, because looking back at it, you can actually see pretty perfectly where pop culture in Hollywood was at that particular time. So Rusty is immediately in. I mean, he hardly has to convince him. And so together, the two of them decide to assemble a team. Now, the movie is obviously called Ocean's 11 because Danny Ocean assembles a team of, you guessed it, 11 people. So you've got, you know, some big shots that are really well connected. And then you've got, you know, some really great tech gurus. And then you've got, you know, this like little man who's just really, really light on his feet. So it's a great team of a lot of diverse people. And together they are going to steal from the vault at the Bellagio, the Mirage, and the MGM Grand. So together they formulate their big plan. Everybody, again, in pure heist fashion, they all have their particular job, and they have to do this all while successfully getting out and avoiding the owner of the casino, Terry Benedict. Now, what makes Terry such a juicy villain is not only is he a arrogant ass, but he has also stolen Danny's girl. That's right. He has stolen Tess, Danny Ocean's, I don't think they really truly specify. They're still married, so I guess it's just his estranged wife, played by Julia Roberts. Now, before I go on, I have to tell you that I did a little bit of digging on this story and how George Clooney got her to be in this movie, Julia Roberts, of course. She wasn't super, super excited about it because at the time she was actually at the height of her career. She was making $20 million a picture. And so Mr. Clooney thought that it would be funny to put a $20 bill onto the script, send it to her with a post-it note saying, "I heard you make $20 million a picture." And apparently she thought that was so funny that she just signed on. $20, that's all it took. So together. They're all working. And what makes this movie so much fun to watch is that, again, kind of in the same way that Reservoir Dogs makes you feel like you're really a part of it, because you get to watch everything from the assembly of this team all the way to the very end of the movie, it really does make you feel like you're a part of it. You get so excited. You know, you get to watch their entire plan unfold, yet they still keep it a complete surprise with how they manage to pull it off. And that, to me, is the perfect recipe. You know, you've got all of the things that make you feel connected to the story, yet you still have got that special twist at the end that makes it feel exciting and makes it feel fun. I love this movie. I think this movie has it all. It's got a little bit of a love story. It keeps you on your toes just enough, but for the most part, it's just a light, fun slice of dessert. Now, for all of my people who don't want something that's violent, they want something that feels fun, it's going to keep you on your toes. It's not something that you have to work your brain around, because, you know, even though Inception doesn't have a whole lot of violence, it's not too gratuitous, that movie requires some brain power. So this is not that. To me, this is the perfect movie where if you want to come home from a long day of work, you want to unhook your bra, put on your yoga pants, put on those fuzzy slippers, and have everybody leave you alone, maybe except for your husband, and pop on a movie and zone out while having a good time. This is your heist movie, 100%. Now, what is the downside to this movie? Why isn't this movie my number one? Well, I gotta tell you, it is because of one person, and one person in particular, and that would be Mr. Don Cheadle. I cannot stand his character in this movie, mainly because I hate his accent. I absolutely hate his accent in this movie. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. First of all, it wouldn't be that bad if he was able to be consistent with it. You know, let's just say, for the sake of giving you an example, that he is supposed to say the line, "I'm going to put the cord over there." And he says it in the beginning in a very proper English accent, like, "I'm going to put the cord over there." And then as the movie goes on, he goes full Eliza Doolittle cockneyly. I'm going to put the cord over there. And I cannot stand the inconsistency with that. And also, like, what is it serving? Like, what purpose does your accent serve? Like, I guarantee you, when he signed on for this movie, Don Cheadle was, "Ooh, ooh, 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 I got a great idea. How about I have an English accent," right? And everybody just probably nodded along, thinking, whatever, just give him what he wants. And it sucked. It absolutely sucked. I don't like accents, especially shitty ones, when they don't have a purpose. Like, look at Andrew Lincoln, for example. He was the character that plays Sheriff Rick on The Walking Dead. Andrew Lincoln is actually British. He has a very, very lovely, ready for ASMR voice. But in the show, The Walking Dead, you know, the entire series takes place in Atlanta, Georgia. So Andrew Lincoln ditches his normal accent for an American Southern accent. This makes sense. It wouldn't make sense to have a British sheriff in Georgia. So he takes on the Southern accent and it works. There's zero purpose why you would need an English man in this movie. Nothing against the Brits. I love England. I'm a fan. Go Brexit, whatever floats your boat. But I'm telling you right now that Don Cheadle is a sweaty tryhard. I said it. And if you want any more proof, then listen up. He is uncredited in this movie. That's right. He is not shown in the credits. And do you want to know why? Is because he wanted, above the title, top billing. He wanted to have his name up with George Clooney's, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, Don Cheadle. Well, the studio was like, "Ugh, I think we're going to stick to these three because they're the most famous." And Don Cheadle's response was, "Well, if I can't be up there, then I don't want to be credited at all." And so they're like, "Okay." And so he's not credited. So So if that's not a sweaty try hard, I don't know what is. I gotta say, I love this movie. It will always go down as one of the best heist movies. You know, any website that you go and you Google best heist movies, this is always within the top five. And I completely understand why. But why isn't it my number one? Well, quite frankly, you can thank Don Cheadle. All right, let's move on to my number one pick, my top favorite heist movie of all time. And that is Inside Man. I love this movie. This movie is so exciting to watch. This is everything that I want in a heist movie. I am on edge the entire time. And that is how it should be, right? If I'm going to be a part of a heist, you know, even taking away everything that I had said earlier about how I'm such a pansy, even if I had the balls, I would imagine that I'm still on high alert the entire time. I mean, that is how this movie makes me feel. So this movie, one other thing that I love about it is that there's so many interworking plot lines. So the movie opens with Dalton Russell, who is played by Clive Owen, and you very quickly learn that he is bad news. He is in the middle of a prison cell, and he kind of goes through the spiel of like the who, what, where, when, why, how, and you very quickly learn that he is going to perform what he calls the absolute perfect, flawless bank robbery. And so he does just that. He's got his crew together, just like any other heist. He's got his team. They go into a big fancy bank and hold it up. There's tons and tons of civilians there. So all of them are now being held hostage in this bank. So that's one storyline. The second storyline is the fact that you have got Detective Keith Frazier, who is played by Denzel Washington, the man, the myth, the legend. Love him. He's the GOAT. And his number one job, along with his partner, played by Chiwetel Ejiofor, they go down and they are supposed to protect the hostages, right? That is their number one priority, is making sure that these hostages are able to get out safe, that there are no casualties. The third piece of this is you have Madeline White, who is played by Jodie Foster, another GOAT in her own right. And she is contacted by Arthur Case, who is played by Christopher Plummer. Yet again, another amazing actor. This is such a great cast. And he is the board of directors of this bank. And Arthur has a safety deposit box within this bank that houses a very deep, dark secret that he wishes to stay hidden for all time. And so he is concerned that these bank robbers, because they have access to everything now, that they're going to be able to break into his safety deposit box and expose his secret. So he has hired Madeline White to essentially keep that from happening. And so these are the three main storylines. And what makes this movie, again, it's so exciting because you were on the edge of your seat the entire time. Like, you watch these hostages go through all these different situations. You know, at one point, they all make them strip down to their skivvies, and they actually make them put on the exact outfits that each team member of the particular heist is wearing. So now everyone matches, which really, when you think about it, is quite genius, because when the hostages are released, they're not going to know who's a hostage and who's a part of this robbery. So it's actually quite genius, but it's terrifying at the same time. And it makes everybody turn in their cell phones. And there's one particular guy who wants to be a hero and works at the bank. And it just so happens that somebody calls him. And to show you the time, he has an amazing ringback tone of Kanye West's Gold Digger. And it's just, oh, like watching everything go down. Like, you're so terrified for these poor hostages. But what makes it interesting and fun to watch is that Clive Owen's character, Dalton, again, he is the ringleader of this group. He's strangely likable. Like, he has a moral code. You know, he's not interested in hurting anybody. He is not interested in having any casualties. He knows exactly what he wants. He just wants to get in and get out. And, you know, so along the way, he's able to show mercy to several different people. And watching him do that, it kind of really instills that, okay, you know what? yeah, he's, obviously a terrible guy, but he's not all bad. He's obviously an onion. He's got some layers to him, and it makes it fun to watch in that fact that you want to see what he's going to do next. And it, as it turns out, because of course, Detective Frazier's whole role is to make sure that all of these hostages get out alive, he has to try to negotiate. So he ends up finding a way to communicate with Dalton, and the two of them find that even though they're complete opposites, they actually share a lot of common ground. And so it's a movie with layers. Like, it's so, you are on the edge of your seat the entire time. The stakes are high, the anxiety is high, but it is so much fun to watch the dynamics of all of these different storylines. At one point, Madeline is going and talking to Dalton. You've got Detective Fraser talking to Dalton. You've got Detective Fraser talking to Madeline, and all of the stories at one point eventually intertwine. But you have no idea where this movie is going. And literally, up until the very, very end, you have no clue what's going to happen. And it is such a fun ride. This, to me, is the ultimate idea. Whenever I think of a heist movie and I think of who had done it the absolute best, hands down, is this movie. It is so dangerous, so fun. It's just the right amount of anxiety that you need to feel when you watch a heist movie. Like, if you're actually going to care about what's happening, you can't be watching it calmly, right? Like, you have to have enough invested that you're a little freaked out, and that they're able to pull that off perfectly. But it's also light enough that you don't feel fatigued afterwards. Sometimes if you watch something that's so heavy, you almost feel like you need to cleanse your system by putting on like Real Housewives or South Park or some kind of like trash TV to balance it out. It's not like that. It is truly, truly the goat within its category. I highly recommend it to anyone, whether you like all of the gratuitousness or whether you like the fun love stories. Regardless of where you stand on your movie genre liking, you are going to like this movie. It has something for everybody. For those of you who have not watched it, I urge you, give it a try and then drop a comment for me. Let me know what you think. If you have watched it, give it a rewatch. Honestly, I did recently for this podcast, and I loved it just as much as I did the first time. All right, so Locked Down, that is the new movie that we are talking about. We are talking about the newest HBO Max streaming movie, Locked Down. So again, to give you a little bit of a quick recap, we have got Linda and Paxton, played by Anne Hathaway and Chiwetel Ejiofor, and the two of them are a couple that have just recently broken up right before the mass worldwide shutdown due to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, during that global lockdown, there were all kinds of memes, about how you kind of fell into like one or two overarching archetypes during the shutdown. You were either jobless without kids or jobless with kids. And if you were without kids, it's almost like the TikTok, the bored in the house, and I'm in the house bored in the house, and I'm in the house bored, or you were drinking at 10 a.m. because you had kids. And I never gave any thought to how many people were probably actually going through real life breakup during this lockdown. So I appreciated that aspect of it. As you can imagine, they're absolutely miserable. He has been furloughed, so he is going through an existential crisis. He's got way too much time on his hands, and he's using it to write poetry about how we've all been living a lie and how this world is so miserable, yada, yada, yada. And Linda is she's in quite the opposite position. So she works for a very prestigious retailer, and unfortunately, she actually has the awful job of having to lay off a lot of her employees. So they're both completely miserable professionally and then completely miserable personally. Now, Linda, again, works for a prestigious retailer, she quickly realizes, you know, this, you know, fuck the establishment, and they decide together to work on a job to rob this upscale retailer and steal their diamonds. Now, they do this, of course, because she knows all the people who work there. They're wearing masks already, so they're able to make them to good use. And while doing so, you know, you guessed it, they're able to reconnect that fire, that flame that had burned out before the pandemic. Now, what did I think about this movie? I have to say, I love Anne Hathaway. I actually do. There's a huge cult of people that call themselves the Anne Hathahaters, and they just like actively hate on Anne Hathaway. I think she's adorable. I love her from her Princess Diary days. I actually think she makes pretty good choices. So I have no issue with Anne Hathaway. She's my gal. I also really, really love Chiwetel Ejiofor. I think he makes phenomenal movie choices. I mean, he's in my top favorite heist movie, Inside Man, 12 Years a Slave. I mean, the man makes amazing movie choices. That being said, I have to say, this was a total dud. I really disliked this movie. I think the reason why I disliked it so much is the fact that the entire first hour of this movie is just spent watching the two of them be completely miserable within this lockdown. And my husband actually said it perfectly. He's like, you know, they're not actually focusing on establishing any of their actual character traits or allowing you to get to know them. They're just trying to get you to understand how miserable they are during this lockdown. But what these writers completely fail to understand is that every single person on the planet has experienced this lockdown. That lockdown was a global lockdown. We all know what that felt like. We actually gave birth to our son, Monroe, during the lockdown. He was born on April 11th, so we were in the hospital on Easter morning, again, during the lockdown, and they showed the Easter service, and they did panoramics through London, Italy, France, New York City. I mean, it was positively chilling, like spine tingling, how completely empty the world was. So you don't need to set the tone for how awful the lockdown was. We already know. So I honestly think what they spent an entire hour doing, they could have achieved, no joke, in 5 minutes. Like, they could have literally just said, we're broken up, we're miserable, she just had to lay off a bunch of people, I'm furloughed, maybe let's get in like one fight. And then that's it. It dragged for so long that, I'm not going to lie, we turned it off. We turned it off. I don't turn off movies. I finish movies. I literally have walked out of one movie in my entire life. I will be 33 this year. And this is the second time I have turned my back on a movie. The first was M. Night Shyamalan's Lady in the Water. I am not going to go down a rabbit hole of explaining why that movie sucked. If you want to have a debate about it, leave it in the comments. I would love to talk about it. I did not like that movie. But this is the only other movie that I actually turned off. Can you believe that? Because I just was like, what a downer. This movie sucks. I don't need a reminder of how miserable everybody was. Ugh, I feel so bad at giving it such a terrible rating. But on a scale of 1 to 10, honestly, this movie is a 1. I hate to say it. Maybe a 2 because I like the cast. We'll give it a 2. Benefit of the doubt because I like Anne Hathaway and I like Chiwetel Ejiofor. But I gotta say, folks, don't waste your time on this movie. If you want to watch a heist movie, watch one of my top 5, but not this movie. Let's wait until maybe the pandemic is over and in the distance before we watch a movie about how much being locked in sucked. Just a thought. All right, guys, we did it. That's it. We're done. Thank you so much for sticking it out with me and until the very end. And again, I would love to know what your favorite heist movies are. If you watch any of these, if you haven't seen any of them, and then this podcast points you in the right direction, let me know. I would love to know if you all are out there watching what I'm recommending. And again, it would mean so much to me if you would please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Thank you guys so much, and I'll see you next week.